spring? Is that you? Warmer temps mean new Allbirds styles. Meet the Superlight Collection, the lightest ever shoes from Allbirds, now in fresh colors. These must-have travel shoes have a lighter-than-air feel and barely-there fit that made them the most packable shoes ever. Plus, they're comfy right out of the box. That means more comfort and less baggage. Experience how Allbirds is redefining comfort. Visit Allbirds.com and use code SUPER24 for a free pair of socks with a purchase of $48 or more. That's Allbirds.com, code SUPER24.
Helping to make our community a better place. This is the WOKV Ask the Experts Weekend, discussing things that matter most to you. Have a question? Have it answered by our local experts. Now, the Consumer Law Hour with Eddie and Chuck Farah on News 104.5 WOKV.
Good Saturday morning, Jacksonville, and good Saturday afternoon. Now, my name is Scott Young. I'm sitting in as the host today with Chuck and Eddie Farah from Consumer Law Hour, brought to you by Farah and Farah. Give us a call at 855-765-1045 to have your legal questions answered. Chuck, Eddie, how you guys doing today? Happy holidays.
Hey, same to you, Scott. Thanks for helping out today.
Yeah, appreciate it, man.
Happy to be on this side of the microphone for a change. This is a new experience for me. Awesome.
Don't worry, we'll teach you the ropes.
I feel like I'm part of the show now. I mean, like I'm in the game. It's a
don't
player.
Worry, man, you are. Don't worry. We're going to... We're going to bring you here. You're going to be a regular before you know it. But anyway, we're going to talk about a couple of things. I want to pick up where we left off about 2 weeks ago. And we had an interesting call about a gentleman who had a issue with his property line. There was a fence. The neighbor's fence was on his property. And he had a survey done. It showed that the fence was on the property. And he was concerned about it. What was the long-term effect of something like that? Of course, you know, if he sells the property, you know, they're going to do a survey and they're going to see that the neighbor is encroaching on his land. But what happens legally in that situation? Well, we reached out to a real estate attorney here in Jacksonville, and he had an interesting comment or an angle that I was not really aware of. But under Florida law, there's a term or a principle called adverse possession, which means that if someone adversely possesses your property for a certain period of time, like a squatter, it becomes their property. And so we called back the person who called in, explained to him that you've got to do something to protect the fact that you're not subject to this adverse possession law. And what the attorney recommended was that he enter into a sort of a license agreement with the neighbor. If you don't want to make the neighbor move the fence, enter into some sort of written license where you allow the neighbor to use that piece of property for a certain period of time. That gets it outside of the adverse possession argument, but it's something you need to be concerned about, because we get calls like that all the time where neighbors' fences are on people's yards and they want to know what to do about it. But I think the safe way to do it, or safe way to handle, is to either make the neighbor move the fence or provide them with a license to use that piece of property that they're encroaching on for a certain period of time. And that way, I think you're going to be outside that adverse possession statute or law.
Now, would that require them to go downtown and file some formal paperwork or something? Or is that just a simple contract agreement they could arrange?
Yeah, they could just write up something, that a license, you know, call it a license. You have a license to use this stretch of property that your fence is on for 5 years, 10 years, whatever, subject to the fact that if I want you to move it, you got to move it. Something like that. That way, it's not an adverse possession. There's sort of an agreement between the two parties as to how to handle it.
Well, it seems like a good idea in that respect to always get something in writing about that that would spell out any kind of formal terms. And that way, it's not adversarial. You know, it's like, okay, cool, I get it. You messed up on the dimensions of the property. Right. But I'm not mad at you. The fence is still here. And
yeah, and I'm getting benefit from the fence, too, because it's protecting my property also. But the adverse possession thing is something that's real. It happens. I mean, squatters, you can read case after case of people who squatted on property and eventually it became theirs. It's a still valid Florida principle of law. But
the whole possession is 9/10 thing?
That's it. You got right on it, Scott. But anyway, that was one comment. That was a couple of weeks ago. And I wanted to kind of just clarify that, because other people, we get that question all the time. The other thing is, you know, just kind of switching to a different topic now. New Year's Eve is about 10 days away. And again, Farah and Farah, for the fourth year in a row, we're doing our free cab rides home, including Uber. So you can take Uber home or a taxi cab. And starting next week, you can go to farahandfarah.com, download the promo code. use that promo code and Uber will take it, and you're going to get a free cab ride home on New Year's Eve. It's a ride home, not to the place, but on the way home.
So, note to self.
Yeah, you know, one thing we want to do, Scott, this is something I've been asking myself, and we can't seem to get the data from JSO, is that, you know, we've been doing this for 4 years. I would like to know, because we've given 2,000, as of now, we're about at 2,000 free cab rides over the last 4 years, 3 years. This will be our fourth year.
I know, so that's an event that I've promoted on my own social media for my friends. I've got friends in the service industry, and I am myself a patron of a couple of establishments around town because of that friendship. And it's always something that I advocate around the holidays is to, by all means, take advantage of that opportunity. You've got these resources. You've got these sponsored rides where people are going to make that resource available to you. So by all means, avail yourself to that. It's always so much cheaper than having to deal with the fallout of a worst case scenario.
Oh, yeah. Oh, tell me about it. But that's good. I appreciate you doing that. And we hope people will use it and take advantage of it. But I don't know if OKV has the data, but this is our fourth year. I would, you know, up to this point, 2,000 cab rides. My question is, as a result of the cab rides, has there been a decrease in DUI arrests? And maybe kind of look at the data before 3 years ago and see what's been over the last 3 years, the average. I can't say the free cab rides. Let's say there's 50% less DUI arrests. I can't say the cab rides did that. But maybe it's a factor, you know, because people are getting free rides home. They don't have to get into their car. They don't have to drive back. They can get a drive to where they're going and then, you know, head on back home free of charge with no worries. So I don't know, maybe...
I mean, even
there's a way
if you
to get that information.
Well, just the fact that 500 or 2,000 less people on the road over the last 3 years who may have had some drinks, I think that just, you may never be able to put your finger on it and create, you know, some sort of statistical analysis, but you know it helps.
Well, you figure every person who took advantage of that service is one person less at risk of, you know, putting themselves in that criteria of being an impaired driver, being an at-risk driver, or presenting a risk to other people because of that condition. Now, do you have to register in advance for this? Is there a cap on how many?
No limit, no cap. You just got to get the promo code and use it. I mean, we're not going to, look, you're not going to be able to get a free cab ride home at 12 noon on New Year's Eve because people are, I mean, they're starting to go out at like 3 o'clock, 4 in the afternoon. We'll probably crank it up in the afternoon and have it go till probably 3 a.m, something like that. You know, after the bars close and people, you know, some people, it'll probably go, I'm going to talk to the people in the office. You really want it to go after 2 o'clock too, because some people may be at people's homes. You know, the bars close at 2, but some people may be at somebody's house celebrating New Year's Eve. And you want to be able to get home without any worries.
Well, like the song lyrics say, after the party, it's the after party.
Yeah, that's true. Got to keep it going.
Yeah, we're here to help that.
Yeah, we want to help keep it going.
Well, let's keep it going on some law questions. 855-765-1045. If you've got questions for Chuck and Eddie, now's your time to call. 855-765-1045.
Yeah, before the show started, there was some news on about somebody who had died in a single car accident. I guess off I-10 or something, went off the road, hit a guardrail, and was ejected. You know, when there's an ejection, you can bet your bet they're not wearing a seatbelt. And Florida law has got a seatbelt. Everybody knows, well, they think they know about the seatbelt law. But really, the seatbelt law applies to people in the front seat. And that's where you've got to wear it. Now, if you're under, I think under 18, you have to wear it. Yeah, even if you're under 18, you got to have a seatbelt on, even if you're in the back seat. But let's assume you're over 18. If you're in the back seat, it's not required that you wear a seatbelt. And the reason why I bring it up from our perspective, handling these personal injury cases, the insurance companies always try to bring up the fact, had you been wearing a seatbelt, then you would not have been injured or not been injured as badly. And so it's called the seatbelt defense. So, for instance, let's say you're in the front seat, you're not wearing a seatbelt, rear end collision, your head hits the windshield, you got a scar on your forehead. They're going to argue, hey, you wouldn't have had that scar. You wouldn't have hit the windshield if you had your seatbelt on. And that may be an argument they can use to kind of reduce the value of your claim. That doesn't mean you still may not have a neck or back injury. But there's under Florida law, in order for the insurance company to use the seatbelt defense, they have to prove that you had a functioning seatbelt, that the seatbelt in your car worked If you have an older car or maybe a car that, you know, I've got an old 70s vehicle, seatbelt, yeah, there's a seatbelt in it, but it's just a lap belt. So they have to prove that your seatbelt was functioning and that the failure to use it was unreasonable, which means that, you know, it was unreasonable for you not to wear your seatbelt. There are cases out there where people are driving and they have to unbuckle their seatbelt because maybe the kid's in the back seat trying to get out of the car seat, or there's an emergency going on in the back seat or some other part of the car. So they got to take their seatbelt off to go deal with that emergency. And then an accident happens. In those situations, you can argue it was not unreasonable for me to not be wearing my seatbelt because I had to deal with an issue with my kid in the back seat or something else going on in the car. So just because you weren't wearing your seatbelt, don't think that your claim is going to be rejected or reduced because you weren't wearing it.
Yeah, I mean,
One other thing, Chicken, I'll let you get this. There's even some data, I'm not going to recommend this, that even in some side impact collisions, that you're almost better off not wearing your seatbelt. So that's why you want to talk to an attorney. Don't accept the fact that, you know, maybe you get a ticket for not wearing your seatbelt. Oh, I don't have a claim because I'm not wearing my seatbelt. Not true. Talk to a PI lawyer, an attorney that handles these claims, and he can advise you on what to do. Go ahead, Chuck.
Well, yeah. Well, I know we've had cases where our clients get in an accident and they're cited for not having a seatbelt on, but the client tells us, I had my seatbelt on. They were 100% sure that they had buckled up before the accident, were buckled up before the accident occurred. And then we were able to prove that there was an actual seatbelt failure where it came unbuckled upon impact.
Mm-hmm.
So, or sometimes somebody will come up, like the first witness to a crash will come up and, you know, unbuckle the seat thinking that helps out. And then the client's not able to explain that they had the seatbelt on. And then the accident report and every other witness after that will state they didn't have their seatbelt on, you know. So, you know, listen, there's more to the story than just, you know, black and white that you didn't have your seatbelt on. And that's, we've been able to get around those issues by showing other reasons why the seatbelt was not
I'll
on.
I'll tell you what happens a lot. We see it that, you know, a witness, like Chuck said, the witness comes up, you're in an accident, you know, the first thing you're going to do is get out of the car, so you take your seatbelt off. A witness comes up and says, or tells the officer, I didn't see him wearing a seatbelt when I walked up to the car to see how he was doing. He wasn't wearing a seatbelt. So the officer puts down on the accident report, he wasn't wearing a seatbelt.
Right. So now you're dealing with that issue when, in fact, you had it on. So that's, you got to kind of...
Yeah, but, you know, the accident... we'll get into this in a second, but we got to take a break, and then we'll talk about how to deal with that.
That's right. You're listening to the Consumer Law Hour, brought to you by Farrah & Farrah on News 104.5 WOKV. We'll be taking your calls in just a few minutes. Call now on 855-765-1045, and we'll be talking to you soon. You're listening to the Consumer Law Hour, brought to you by Farrah & Farrah on News 104.5 WOKV. Call now with your questions, 855-765-1045. Lines are open. Again, 855-765-1045. We're going to start out with Paul in the South Side. He's got an Uber driver question, unable to get off the list. Paul, you're talking with Farrah & Farrah. How are you today?
I'm doing fine, sir. Mr. Farrah, I appreciate everything you do for the public by answering questions about legal stuff.
Yes, sir.
I signed up for Uber about 2 weeks ago. They have an Uber Green store. It's over 1910 or 1920 Atlantic Boulevard. It's inside a Sprint store. In their back corner, they got a little room, office there where you go in, you give them your information, they sign you up there. Well, I signed up about 2 weeks ago. I drove for Uber 3 years ago, and I had problems with the app because the app was so bad and messed up that it cost me money, so I quit driving. Well, when I signed up, I took care of everything and I started driving. I started getting these phone calls that I'm an Uber Green store. And I tell the people I'm not. I'm just a regular driver. You need to go to the location. Well, I was at Uber Green store a week ago, and I was telling the people that I got all these problems. I get all these phone calls like I'm an Uber Green store, but I'm an Uber driver. And when I was there, the lady took two of my calls. She said, sir, he's not an Uber Green store. You need to call either Orlando or you need to come up here. And I get them all the time. I got two or three last night. And I've called the 800 number for Uber. And I get people in the Philippines, they can't take care of it. The Uber Green Store can't take care of it. And I can't get these people to quit calling me. What am I supposed to do?
You want to change your phone number?
No, I don't want to change my phone number.
Well, I don't know what to tell you. Why can't you block that number from calling you? They're calling that whatever number they're calling, that Uber Green Store number. Can't you just block it on your phone?
They're calling my personal phone number.
Huh?
They're calling my personal cell phone number.
Yes, I'm saying, but you can block a call. You can block a call from an individual.
I don't know if there's all kinds of individuals calling me.
Oh, I know that, but that was probably the same number. If they're calling the Uber Green Store, that's probably one number.
Yeah, I guess.
I don't know if there's anything legally you can do about that. I mean,
he can block it.
Yeah, you can block it, but I mean.
So if anybody calls that Uber Green number, it's not going to ring to his phone. It's blocked.
Well, they tell me it's on Google. My number's on Google.
Yeah, I don't know why Uber won't take care of that, because those are people who are applying for jobs at Uber, right? Uber Green?
Sometimes I get calls for rides. I got a call last night for a ride.
And you weren't on, and you weren't working?
Yeah, I was driving.
You were driving, okay.
It's somehow on a national Google database.
Well, you need to get with Google on that to tell them to remove it.
Yeah. I don't know what to tell you legally. I don't know what to tell you on that. I really don't. To me, that's something that's internal between Google and Uber. Your number got mixed in with their number.
Another question. If I pick you up, you know, you rate me like a 5-star. And when I started with Google 3 years ago, I got low rates because their apps were so messed up. People got mad at me. It wasn't me that made a mistake. It was their apps. I'd go the wrong direction. I'd be 10 minutes late getting there, and people would give me bad reviews. If you get it below 4.7, they threaten to deactivate you. When I signed back up with Uber 2 weeks ago, they started me back when I was driving 3 years ago with the same number, 4.7. I got a thing last night in my Uber app saying they might deactivate me because my rating is too low. I said, you got to be kidding me.
Wow.
I don't like that kind of stuff. I don't know what the problem is. Why they started me from 3 years ago? I sent them emails 3 years ago that their app was messed up.
I can speak to that.
Hold on for a second. We got an answer for you.
Uber has your account registered by your email address and by your telephone number. And if either of those have not changed, you cannot change them in the Uber database. So that information will always be sustained. Whatever ratings are attached to it will always be sustained. And the only way to get around that will be to, one, change the phone number, and two, register with a different email address. Because you can't unlink that information from Uber the way their account system is set up right now. I ran into the same problem because I drove for them for a while. And in order to deactivate my account and then try to reactivate with another vehicle, they couldn't transfer my vehicle registration information. They couldn't transfer any of my account information because it's all bound under these restrictive terms. It's always attached to the same phone number, the same email address. And sadly, the only way around that is to get new information on both of those.
Okay, my phone number changed, but my email didn't change. So I need to change my email then.
Yeah, you'll need to change that as well.
Yeah, but he has a 4.7. Why does he want to change it?
Yeah, that's a good review.
I mean, 4.7 is good.
I get suspect out of five.
Yeah, but if you start over again, you start at a 5.
Oh, you do?
Yeah. The great thing about it is they start you at the peak, and then it gets whittled down really quickly from bad reviews, and it's really hard to build that rating back up again if you got bad reviews going on. So if it's still pulling a bad review history for you, all of that information isn't reflective of your current driving record or current passenger opinions, but it is referenced on your account. So it's a lingering bad history.
Can you contest the reviews? Let's say somebody says, I mean, some people are just vindictive. No matter what you do for them, it's not enough. And they'll give you a bad review. I mean, is there a way to, let's say somebody gives you a 2. You picked them up on time. You dropped them off, adequately.
I mean, I expect you could probably follow up with customer service, but you're not going to get a whole lot of satisfaction out of them.
From Uber?
From Uber, yeah. They're not renowned for their customer satisfaction.
No, you're not. I'm talking about the driver satisfaction. An employee satisfaction I'm talking about.
True. Well, okay. they treat their drivers like employees.
Really?
Thanks, Paul. Have a good afternoon.
Thank you for the information.
You're listening to the Consumer Law Hour, brought to you by Farrah and Farrah on News 104.5 WOKB. You're listening to the Consumer Law Hour, brought to you by Farrah and Farrah on News 104.5 WOKV. Lines are open, 855-765-1045. Again, that number is 855-765-1045. We've got Robert from St. Augustine's been holding for a minute. He's got a question regarding adverse possession of land. Robert, how you doing today?
Good afternoon. Thank you so much for your program. We always learn a lot. My question is this. Under what you just explained at the beginning of your show, how long would a person's fence be able to be on the other person's property before that adverse possession kicks in?
Well, we just looked it up. It's 7 years.
7 years.
Yep. It says here, adverse possession under Florida, in the state of Florida, adverse possession occurs when a person loses title to his property because the other person has occupied the land for at least 7 years, resulting in overlapping legal descriptions. So if that fence is on your property for 7 years, he's got it.
If it is right on the boundary, would half of the fence be yours and the other half theirs?
I guess you can make that argument. I mean, you have to look at the survey and see where it is.
No, if it is dividing the land right at the very point, they dug out the survey markers on three areas of our property in order to put a fence up, so it's hard to tell. But if it was splitting the land division itself, I wonder if you would own half of that fence. But it's an exact split.
You have to look at the survey and see if the fence is on your property. If any part of the fence is on your property.
And if any part of it...
That part that's on it is part of on your land. That's why the survey is so important.
Right, and if part of the fence, but not all of the fence, is overlapping, then does that adverse position apply?
I think so. Looking at what I just read, it would seem to me, again, I'm not a real estate lawyer, but just from reading it, that piece that's on your property, whatever, if it's an inch, 2 inches, whatever it is yours, on your land.
Oh, the piece of fence.
Right.
It is overlapping would be...
On your property, it would be yours.
After that part of the fence.
Right.
Well, that's interesting. I want to make an interesting observation. When you deal with insurance companies, you need to get an attorney. You would have no idea what an insurance claim we went through where they tried to get out of paying on a simple television repair. It was unbelievable how they tried to get out of it using everything they could. Please get an attorney if you're dealing with an insurance company. Again, thanks for your program.
Thanks,
we really
John.
Learned a lot.
Thanks, Robert. Thanks for calling.
Thanks for that advice because it's very true.
We've got John in Jacksonville. He's got a question for you regarding life insurance and disability. Talk about insurance issues. Here we go. John, you're on with Chuck and Eddie Farrah.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. My wife and I have life insurance policies, and I'm 60-something, she's 50-something. She got disabled at Pumple's Gross about 15 years ago, and evidently she had a rider on there that covered her premium. So, long story short is... over the last 15 years, we get letters from this company. Can I mention the company name?
You don't need to, but you're echoing. I really can't hear you that well, but go ahead.
It's a very large insurance company, and we get letters every month. They're asking for this, asking for that. My wife is legally disabled, and they want a proof of disability from the Social Security Administration. The original letter, not copies. This goes on about once, maybe twice a year. Letters from her doctor saying that she's still disabled, that nothing has changed. The notices come in, they look like they're hand typed, like they've never seen a disability scenario before in their lives. And it's just so frustrating because if I wasn't handling this, my wife wouldn't do anything. I guarantee you that She never get a dime from them. And I mean, it's not a lot of money. It's just that I've got to the point where I'm just so mad. I wanted, like, hey, maybe it's time for me to get an attorney or do something.
You know what I would recommend? I mean, if you want to leave your number, I know an attorney that handles that sort of thing, and I can refer you to him. But the other way to handle it is through the insurance commissioner. If you file a complaint through the insurance commissioner, and you can do it online, the insurance company is required to respond to your complaint under the law. So you're going to hear back. They'll run it up the chain, and they have to file a formal response to your complaint.
Very nice.
And sometimes that doesn't. I'll tell you what, we've used it before. We used it in these car accident claims where these adjusters were harassing the clients and being unreasonable, and we filed a complaint. And when the supervisors heard about it, they shut it down. So you will get a response, and maybe that's the place to start.
Well, yeah, I appreciate that, because what I'm looking for from my wife, in case I were to pass away, is a simple letter saying, this is what I have, okay, but I can't get that. And and again, just nonstop with the demands, what they want. And again, if it wasn't for me doing it, my wife's name, she probably didn't open the mail, you know, so it's a little frustrating. All right, well, gentlemen, thank you very much. It's a great
And if that doesn't help, that if filing that complaint doesn't help, call me at 396-5550, and I've got somebody who can help you.
Thank you, sir. Have a good afternoon.
Yep, thank you.
Thank you very much, John. Have a good afternoon. 855-765-1045. If you've got a legal question, Chuck and Eddie Ferrier are here to help you out. The Consumer Law Hour. Again, 855-765-1045. Give us a call.
Yes, Scott. We were talking about the seatbelt issue, and, you know, people, the officer would put, you know, there's a question on the accident report. Was the driver, whoever it was, wearing a seatbelt? And sometimes, like I said, the witness will tell the officer, hey, I walked up and there was no seatbelt on. Or maybe the officer walks up and doesn't see you wearing a seatbelt. So he puts down on the accident report, no seatbelt. Well, don't forget and don't get worried by that. I mean, if you were wearing it, because the accident report and the information in the accident report is not admissible in a court of law. So unless they've got an independent eyewitness that saw you at the time of the crash, that you didn't have your seatbelt on, it's going to be difficult to prove that. So, again, and we've talked about this many times, that all the information, who got the ticket, who didn't get a ticket, all that stuff that's in the accident report is not admissible and cannot be used against you in any type of accident case. So I just wanted to bring that up.
That's useful information.
Yes.
Because Lord knows they present that information with a certain sense of
Like
gravitas. And you're feeling like, you know, well, here's this document and I'm bound by all these things now.
Yeah, it says all this stuff about me. You know, here's this accident report. It's got a diagram of the accident. It shows me, you know, speeding or crossing the center line. There's a diagram. There's a witness there. There's an officer who checks all these blocks. And this guy's, but just because it's in there doesn't mean they can use it against you, because they can't. So don't get discouraged if you know you're in the right and the accident report says something different. That's a case worth pursuing, because a personal injury lawyer knows how to deal with that.
Yeah. I mean, the logic behind it is they want witnesses and all people related to the accident to be up front at the scene and kind of report what's going on or what they saw, you know, without the fear of having to get involved with the case later on. So it allows people to open up right there at the scene so the police officer can kind of gather information. That's the logic behind it. But sometimes it's inaccurate.
Exactly. And the report is prepared after the fact.
After the fact.
Now, see, here's the thing. Here's one thing you want to remember now. Let's say you're in an accident and the officer suspects you drinking. So, and you're in an accident. So he does his accident report. None of that's admissible, right? You know, you ran a stop sign, whatever it was. Even if you admit you're running the stop sign, it's not admissible. But what the officer will do then, he'll go, look, I'm finished investigating the traffic accident. I'm now conducting a DUI investigation. Well, at that point, what you say can be used against you.
Now, do they have to tell you when they're changing that?
Yes, they're going to. Yeah, I mean, they'll tell you, I'm investigating the accident. I'm done investigating that. That's the accident report stuff we've been talking about. But now he goes, now I want to begin my DUI investigation. That's criminal, and whatever you say can be used against you.
So that's when you want to probably, you know, talk to a lawyer first. Tell them that you're willing to cooperate, but you want your lawyer to be present, because anything you do say, well, you know, he'll write it down. And
again, an interesting distinction about that, because you don't think about the principles of there being two separate investigations.
Yes, two separate.
And two applicable sets of legal criteria on that.
Within the same incident, same transaction.
Well, if you've got questions that you're thinking about and it involves your position relative to the law, 855-765-1045 gets you in touch with Farah and Farah. Chuck and Eddie Farah sitting in the studio right now. Lines are open, 855-765-1045 for all of your legal needs. Give us a shout right now. Lines are open.
Okay, well, do we have time before the break?
Absolutely.
Break. Okay. You know, we're talking about property and so forth, but there's an interesting Florida statute, 768.075, which talks about the liability of property owners. You know, anybody who owns property, a house, a business, is always concerned about somebody coming onto their property, falling or getting hurt. Or, you know, we've had claims against property owners because the bushes on their property, you know, blocked a partial view of the stop sign. And so, you know, we were able to go after the property owner because they weren't trimming the bushes in their front yard. Whether it's a house or a business. So, I mean, people who own property are always concerned about their liability. But Florida law does give you some protection. Under 768, as a property owner, you are immune for any type of liability for negligence that results in the death or injury of a person who is attempting to commit a felony on your property, which means that even though you're a property owner and even though you may be negligent, let's say you have an unsafe condition on your property, and you're, otherwise you'd be responsible for that injury. If that person who's on your property is committing a felony, you are immune from any liability. There was a case where, and I'll give you an example, there was a case in an apartment complex where this person was conducting an illegal chop shop at the apartment complex. You know, he was, you know, taking cars, dismantling, selling the parts. That's a felony, you know. And while he was doing that, somebody came up and shot him, and they wanted to sue the apartment complex, you know, for not having proper security. But because he was committing a felony running that chop shop, he was not able to maintain his claim.
Wow. Even though it wasn't related to,
doesn't
may not have
be
been
related
to the,
no.
to the illegal business.
If anybody, yeah.
Or illegal activity.
No matter how unsafe your property is, somebody gets severely injured, you have no responsibility if that person's committing a felony on your property.
Well, that's interesting.
David, I see you on the line. We're going to take your call. And when we come back from this break, you're listening to the Consumer Law Hour, brought to you by Farah and Farah on WOKV News 104.5. We'll be back after these messages. You're listening to the Consumer Law Hour, brought to you by Farah and Farah, here on News 104.5 WOKV. Got a couple of minutes left before we wrap up the show today, fellas. Any kind of closing commentary? Any things people need to be aware of? Current events? Recent developments?
Yeah. I want to talk about something that Robert brought up about always, you know, don't trust in the insurance companies and get a lawyer. You know, every insurance policy has a mitigation provision in it, whether it's a homeowner's, everything, any insurance policy. And what that means is, under the terms and conditions of your insurance policy, you have a requirement to mitigate damage. That means you got to stop the damage from getting worse. So if you've got a water coming into your home and you're aware of it, you've got to stop the water. You got to call, you know, ServPro or something like that to come, you know, clean it up. Because if you leave the water, of course, the damage is going to worsen. And if you don't take action to prevent the damage from getting worse, that could void your policy and void your claim. And they'll use it, and they do it all the time. So if you have a roof leak, you got to put a tarp on it. You go a week and you just let it get worse, and they know you just let it leak for an extra week, you're in trouble. So you've got to take action to mitigate your damages. Same thing in a personal injury case. If you're injured, you got to mitigate. You got to go to the doctor. If you miss doctor appointments, they're going to claim you're not mitigating your losses, that you would be better off and not in as much pain if you listened to the doctor and did what he told you to do. So this mitigation comes not just under property damage type situations, but even in personal injury cases, right, Chuck?
Sure does. I mean, that's we harp on that because, you know, people get busy. I hear some of my clients say, "Oh, you know, I'm feeling I'm hurt, but I don't have time. I have to just kind of medicate myself at home." But really, that doesn't help. You know, you've got to go see the expert, the doctor who can get you better, because if not, it will significantly devalue the case. And, you know, you have a duty to seek the best and most up-to-date treatment out there to help you recover. And if you don't do that, then they use it again, then it can be used against you.
Well, one more time, let's talk about the opportunity for folks to mitigate their own liabilities over the hospitality weekend with what's going on with Farrah and Farrah sponsoring some cab rides, some Uber rides home.
New Year's Eve, free Uber cab rides home from anywhere around. I think we're also doing it in St. Augustine. I think we may be doing it in Savannah. Last year we did it in Daytona. So it's not just Jacksonville, Scott. We're kind of ramping it up to other cities.
Outstanding.
Because we have offices in, you know, we have offices in Savannah, and so we felt like it's a good thing to help those people out too, because I like to have a good time just like anybody else.
Absolutely. And it's looking out for the community. So this way, everyone gets an opportunity to take advantage of the resource, have their best, most entertaining evenings, their most exceptional holiday experiences, but also get home safely.
Thanks for being here, Scott. Appreciate it.
Thanks, happy to Scott. Be working with you guys. Thank you very much. Happy holidays to everybody listening. You've been listening to the Consumer Law Hour, brought to you by Farrah and Farrah here on News 104.5 WOKV.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.